My brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Lord Jesus, be in our minds and on our lips and in our hearts. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This beautiful feast of the Ascension points out two things for us. One, our hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth, created each of us with great love, and will draw us by his will, by his love, by his grace, to heaven. And secondly, this feast points out our responsibility, our mission from Jesus to go make disciples of all the nations. So Christians sometimes have been criticized. People have said, Christianity is too pie in the sky. You know, always with their heads up in the heavens and the clouds, and they forget the people on earth. But, of course, I don't think that actually is a very fair criticism, actually, when you look at the history of the church. Because what did Jesus do? He certainly, his teachings were heavenly, but he came to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. And we are the body of Christ. So he ascended not to be removed from us, from the earth, but to be even more present on the earth through his people. Because Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. That spirit of his own spirit lives in us. Jesus lives in us. We are literally his body. And he commanded us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, comfort the sick, visit those who were losing hope, to love even our enemies, to break down the barriers that exist between peoples, to lift each other up, to bring people out of darkness into light. This is all a part of our mission. And I know perhaps we all have met people full of hope, and hopefully we ourselves are people of hope. I've been blessed very much in my life. I've met so many people that have helped me have hope, inspired me to live more fully the gospel. I was thinking of a woman named Lori. Lori had an inoperable brain tumor. She had a family, and it was such a struggle. 4.5 years, she struggled. She had many reactions to chemo and drug therapy. At one point, she was having seizures, and so she lost the ability to drive. And they treated her with chemo and treated the seizures, and she stopped having the seizures. And they said, well, if you have your seizures stop for 6 months, we'll let you drive again. And it turned out that the seizures did stop for 6 months. And she was so happy she could finally drive again. You know where she went? The first opportunity that she had to get back in the car, you might think she might celebrate going to a restaurant with her family or maybe take a scenic drive up to the UP or Lake Michigan or some other place of beauty. But no, that's not where Lori went. Her first place, the first place she drove to, was a nursing home. And she went in and she said, "Tell me where the person is here that doesn't have anyone to visit them. I want to go see them." That's what Lori did the first time she could drive. She went to bring others hope who had been in darkness. And she herself knew the struggle of darkness. Sweet Lori eventually did lose her battle to cancer, but she died such a beautiful, holy woman, full of hope all the way to the end. There's so many people help us, brothers and sisters. I was remembering a time, I was thinking of the gospel. Here you have the apostles literally seeing the risen Lord before them on that mount before he ascended. And it said they worshiped him, but they doubted. They doubted. So helping people through times of doubt can also, that's another part of bringing hope to them. And this happened to me. I was preparing for diaconate ordination. And a few days before my ordination, I was really struggling. This darkness seemed to come upon me out of nowhere. You've heard of getting cold feet. I felt like my feet were in two icebergs. You know, it was a really hard moment. I was struck with so many doubts. The stark reality of what lay before me. See, at diaconate is when a person who's preparing for the priesthood makes all their vows. So we first ordain deacons and then priests. But it's the diaconate where you make all your vows and promises before the Lord. So there I was. I had thoughts like, get in the car, just drive away, go to Notre Dame. I had a professor there who had called me up just a little bit before this and said, come on back to the labs. You can finish your PhD out here at Notre Dame and still be a priest. You know, it was very tempting. Other strange thoughts. Oh, go be a lay missionary. I won't go through all the different trials. But I will say, it was the night before my ordination, I slept hardly, just maybe a few hours. I was up at 5 in the morning and feeling this darkness and fear. And I was like, oh, Lord, this is horrible. Lift this, Lord. Kind of went into like a little agony in the garden, a little mini, small agony compared to Jesus's. But for me, it was horrible. I wrote in my journal, I said, this is awful, Lord. The darkness was all around me, and I was in prayer. So I knew I should just keep praying, pray through this. And then suddenly, something very startling happened. In my mind's eye, in the middle of all this darkness, I saw two points of light coming out of the darkness toward me. And as these lights approached me, they were nuns, two nuns, and they were both holding in their hands candles. And they both came, and they came right beside me, and they knelt down. And all of a sudden, I was bathed in light and peace, and I was feeling this deep in my heart all around me, this great love and power. And by now it was like almost 6:30, 7, you know. So I opened up my breviary in the midst of all this, and I read Psalm 5. I just put my eyes down on the page that I opened up, and this is what I read. All those you protect shall be glad and ring out their joy. You shelter them, and in you they rejoice, those who love your name. It is you who bless the just man, Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Well, that's exactly how I felt at that moment, surrounded by the Lord's favor as a shield. And for the next hour, I was kind of like jumping around my bedroom, you know. I was just so happy, so full of joy. I could hardly wait to be ordained. And that was a very, very joyful day. As I continued praying that morning, the Lord had reminded me that just about 2 or 3 weeks before this, I had visited some cloistered nuns, and they had promised me that they would pray for me on my ordination day. So he reminded me that these two nuns, that was all those nuns. But then he also said, it's not only those nuns that were praying for you. All the people back in Lansing Diocese, I had served at Brighton Parish just up the road, and all the people there were praying for me, all my seminarian brothers, all the priests, all the people that I had been serving in Washington, D.C., and the parishes there. So it was all those prayers that had been a huge help to me. And after my ordination, someone gave me a pack of cards, and the front card, I just could hardly believe my eyes. It was a card that showed two angels holding candles, and in the center was a third angel with head bowed, presenting a chalice to this knight who was kneeling before the two angels. And if you've ever seen a diaconate ordination, the deacon is focused on the chalice. And the Lord was showing me, you saw rightly. I was with you in your darkness, and now I'm with you, as Jesus said, always, always. We all have times where we go through darkness. Every one of us struggles. There is the reality of evil in our world, and evil wants us to kind of suppress us, push us down, to not believe. But God is, no, I am with you. And it's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, to lift people up, to help each other when we're struggling, and to have hope. I want to thank this parish. I want to share one other piece of good news. Speaking of nuns, across the street we have a household of women discerning a religious vocation. And you've heard Miss Patty Clark, one of the women there, talk to us about becoming a Carmelite nun. She's already been accepted, but she was too poor to enter the convent because she had this huge debt. Well, she presented her need to this parish, and the Laboré Society, which is a Catholic organization that helps men and women enter religious life, helps them pay off their debt, well, they assisted her. And she was here just like last week praying, kind of getting a little, firm with the Lord, because this has been a few years now trying to get rid of this debt. She's worked two jobs and many other jobs on the side. And it was, you know, she was getting tired. It was hard. She said, Lord, give me patience. Give me perseverance. But also give me the financial aid I need, you know. Give me the money. You know, and wouldn't you know, just this past week, two generous souls came forward and said, we're going to pay off the rest of your debt. It was over $12,000. Wow. She's going to the Carmel. She's going to be a nun. And this community and the prayers and support, we're all a part of that. We're a part of each other's lives. We help lift each other up to fulfill the mission Jesus Christ has entrusted to us. Brothers and sisters, let's continue being people of hope. One day we will see the Lord, and we will be with the Lord in heaven, where hope springs eternal.